Darius Brubeck, who joins us here at Jazz FM. The obvious question has got to be, carrying the Brubeck name, help or hinder at this stage in your career?
Oh, it only helps. You know, let's be honest about that. Where it has been a drawback of, you know, is when I was much, much younger and, of course, wanted to pull away from situations where a club owner seriously suggested billing my group as D. Brubeck so that people would think it was Dave and, you know, that sort of thing. But that's when I was a kid. I mean, you know, at this point, I've learned to not only live with the legacy, but really celebrate it. You know, I'm very honored to be a part of it. And how many people in my profession have the luxury of having hits they can fall back on that they didn't even make themselves, but still associated with the name. So, you know, it's fine. I'm happy.
You've taken your own steps forward in, I'm thinking about your father traveling and taking back things from other parts of the world, for instance, the time signatures, etc., from Turkey, making those steps forward. And if you like, making a huge contribution to the globalization of jazz.
Yes.
And you've done that yourself in the fact that in the 80s you went to South Africa and taught there. Why did you make that step in the first place?
It's a fairly complicated story, but it's largely personal. My wife is British South African. She was born here, but grew up there. And we met in New York. And the story within the story, a little glibly, is when people say, how did you meet your wife? I can say, well, she hired me because she was producing a program, a great concert with my father, Charles Mingus, Sarah Vaughan. Mercer Ellington was leading the Duke Ellington Orchestra at the time. It was after Duke died. And it was a fundraiser for an African cause. And she was kind of political, and she was involved with fundraising and producing concerts and that sort of thing. That's how we met. And I became involved kind of gradually in her network of connections and people. And one of them is Professor Chris Ballantyne, who's since retired, but he was the head of the music department, what was then the University of Natal. And I'll try not to get too detailed and boring, but anyway, he had the vision of changing the whole culture of that department and ultimately the university by hiring a jazz guy into his department. And it turned out to be me. That's a very boiled down version. It was quite complicated with the politics of the time and so forth.
Of course,
But it worked out.
And you had the first multiracial band.
That's
there,
right. It was such a breakthrough that it did what Kathy, my wife, and I really hoped it did. From then on, that was the most identifiable thing about the university internationally.
So you mentioned Kathy there. The new album's Kathy's Summer.
Oh, you picked that up. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I've been doing this a while. So the opening track here, set in 5/4 time as well, like take five. Is there a connection there or is that just a coincidence?
No, Tim. You know, I grew up with, I was in high school. No, just starting high school around the time of Time Out and Time Further Out and so forth. So, to me, the novelty is no, you know, it's just another choice. It would be like saying, well, it goes in the key of G instead of F.
And yes.
You know, it's not the first thing I think about anymore. But
how lovely
but
to be that is, free.
But, you know, there's it's the same beat. But to me, it's just another jazz beat.
I was reading the sleeve notes here, and this on your current album, Kathy Summer, this was kind of like an add-on.
Yeah, that's right. We had some extra time, and it's a standard I really, really like. In the last year, or maybe just the last months of my father's life, he was still playing at home, but had only just quit touring. And That was a tune he would go out into the living room, which was so big it had two grand pianos in it, and he would he just started playing it. So that's how I learned it. So to me, it has a very much deeper association than, say, other standards I might also know and like, but don't have any personal connection with.
Yes. You were present at the White House when your father picked up the, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, Kennedy Center Honors in 2009. And that was just a high point, not only for him, but for the whole family. Gosh, you know, we were so pleased with it. And it was such a luxurious and festive and glamorous occasion. And very untypical in the sense that my parents, Dave and Iola, didn't really seek celebrity.
Yes.
They weren't the sort who would hang out in Hollywood with other famous people and so forth. They had a big, big house in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So it was near New York, and they did have friends, and some of them happened to be famous. But Kennedy Center was sort of that moment where suddenly he, you know, was taking, in a way, his rightful place in that circle of top American talent, you know, the Robert De Niro and Mel Brooks and, you know, people like that who were so well known outside of their own fields.
And you were there looking at guys, it's my dad.
Well, more, no, the other way around. There's a, if I don't know if you've seen the TV clip, but it's famous. It's gone YouTube everywhere. The producers of Kennedy Center Honors thought it would really be a neat trick to have all of the Brubeck musicians be part of the show and not tell Dave, and to keep it a secret from him. And all sorts of manipulations were being done to make sure that he didn't think that this was going to happen. And he didn't. And Herbie Hancock was introducing it, and he did a little bit of a piano intro. And there was another band on stage, a really good one, Christian McBride, Bill Charlop, Bill Stewart, Miguel Zenon, John Faddis. So, great, this is going to be good entertainment. And we were behind a moving set that looked a little bit like the Time Out cover. So that band went into Blue Rondo, and the set was pulled away, and there was Darius, Chris, Dan, another brother, Matthew, who's a fine cellist. The camera went to Dave to register his surprise, and he mouthed, I will say it on the air, you've heard worse on the air, but you could see it, not hear it. He's a typical cowboy expletive, son of a bitch, very clearly, because he had no expectation that that would happen. And we had a terrific Blue Rondo, really, besides the head, is just acres of blues to jam on and play with. So, you know, with all those great musicians, that was effectively the set, and it was great fun.
Wow, that's quite a moment. I'll put that clip up on our Facebook page so people can have a look at it. Let us take something now from Kathy's Summer, which sounds very different to the two tracks that we played. Yeah. It's got a great driving rhythm from the bass at the open here. This is called 15, and it's your own composition. Can you tell us a bit about this, Darius?
Yeah, this is one of several new compositions. On this CD, I'm pushing the boat out a bit. I'm doing less Dave and less South African and more of my own stuff, which my group has been very supportive of developing this as a direction. It's called 15 because it's in 15/4. It's another time signature tune.
We'll be counting. Darius Brubeck, thank you.